Hi, and welcome into another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 10-2 Rangers win against the White Sox, securing the series win as well. Rangers have now won 4 in a row. We're going to get into everything in this game, the key moments, the scoring, get into the box score, talk about some big spots in the game where some Rangers that had been struggling somewhat finally came through. Always good to be here after a W. Much nicer, much better, much more enjoyable getting on, hanging out with you guys after a win like this, in which the Rangers scored double-digit runs for the first time in what feels like a long time. I'd love to know the actual game where we went double digits last. It feels like it's been a long time ago. We'll have to figure that out, see if we can get that to you at some point during the broadcast. But first of all, y'all know, here at Right on Rangers, we cover pretty much everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. A lot of options out there for Texas Rangers content. Thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. If you're not following the account, not subscribed to the channel, would greatly appreciate if you hit that follow or subscribe button. Get notified every time we go live. Stay up to date with our latest and greatest content. Would greatly appreciate it. Well, let's get into this one. I'm going to be checking the chat, the comments here and there as we go along. I see a few people already chiming in. Thank you so much for the comments. Let me go ahead and get started with them real quick. 15 hits, but it could have been more. Yet Wyatt Langford did have some tough luck. Lasers that got caught out in the right center field gap. He had two that I can think of off the top of my head in the gap, right center field, and the White Sox just kind of playing him perfectly, to be honest. Tommy Pham, a decent outfielder out there, but I think that was more perfect placement, perfect alignment by the outfielders. Definitely could have been more than that for sure. What's up? Thank you so much for tuning in today. Appreciate it. Just mowing through all the comments here. Thank you for the support. John, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Adolis Stance looked back to normal tonight, 3-for-5. It was a good night. I'll have to check out the Stance. That being said, 3 hits for Doley, and let's definitely even heap on a little bit more praise for him. Some of those hits were 2-out hits too, right? One of his hits to tie the game, I believe, a little bit earlier on. What was it, the 4th or 5th inning, something like that? I mean, Doley had a very, very big 2-out hit. I believe Corey Seager led off the inning with a double. There were 2 quick outs, right? Josh Smith gets out, Wyatt Langford gets out. And then you have Doley coming up with Seager on 2nd and 2 outs. And it was a big spot for him to tie the game at 2 runs apiece. He did it, man. He went down and got that one that I'm thinking of that ended up tying the game in the bottom of the 5th inning. Then Nate Lowe comes up and puts the Rangers ahead, ended up being the game-winning RBI. Rangers went up 3-2 in the bottom of the 5th inning. To me, that was one of the biggest hits for Doley. I mean, 3 hits tonight. I loved a lot of what I saw. The at-bats looked a lot better, but that moment in the bottom of the 5th, kind of looking like it's going to be one of those games for the Rangers where they're just not going to get the big hit, right? I mean, this had beginning of the season, offensive struggles, woes written all over it, and I was just so thrilled to see Doley come through with a huge 2-out hit in the bottom of the 5th inning there. Very clutch, and it's just not a shock. You see Adolis Garcia getting 3 hits, and you look up and the Rangers have 10 runs. That's not a coincidence. And we've said so many times, if they can just get Adolis Garcia the middle of this order humming, if they can just get it humming, they are going to be an extremely formidable team, especially from the offensive side of the ball. So I am just not surprised in the slightest. The Rangers have one of their best offensive outputs of the night. Doley has multiple hits. It doesn't always go that way. Sometimes you have a guy go off individually, 2-3 hits, and the team still loses. But with the Rangers and a lot of their players, you know, Nate Lowe comes to mind. Of course, Josh Smith, Seager, Semien, all those guys have been having great years as it is. Semien leads, obviously, second baseman in the AL and RBI, and I don't think the stats are terrible. I know some Rangers fans are a little bit disappointed and Marcus Semien and his performance over the course of the season. That being said, I still think Marcus Semien is a top option in this Rangers order. But when you get Doley going 3 hits, it's just not surprising. He raises his average by 6 points. I think he was down around 205, 206. He's up to 212 now. So I will say this. Doley if he can just keep doing this, and he's been having a few good games in a row, this could be life-changing for this Rangers season. I'm not trying to be overdramatic in the slightest, but if they can get Adolis Garcia hot, or at least just being consistent, right? You can't be hot for the entire season, but just don't fall off a cliff like Doley had been doing over the past, what, month and a half? We just need Doley to not fall off a cliff. You don't have to be the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball, but we just have to have somewhat consistent production from him. So in order to get more wins like this, I think Doley has to be consistent. Hopefully, this is the start of good things. Doley, 3 hits. Corey Seager, 4 hits. They combined for 7 total hits between the two of them. Corey Seager just put the team on his back tonight. And look, I know we're playing the White Sox, but we've talked about this, y'all. These are Major League Baseball teams. Yes, some are better than others, but I think we've seen what has happened with the A's and the Astros and the Angels and the Mariners. Mariners and Angels, the Angels have a losing record worse than the Rangers. They're 5 games behind the Rangers, and they keep winning games over the Mariners. The A's stole a game from the Astros last night. It can happen on any given night in baseball. It's part of the beauty of the sport. So we kind of take for granted. It's easy to say we're playing a cupcake team. They're the worst team in baseball. You still got to go out there and win the game. And the White Sox do have some formidable pitchers. I wouldn't put Chris Flexen in that category per se. I think he did a decent job tonight. Eventually, I think the Rangers were able to get him out of the ballgame just through working deep pitch counts, that kind of thing. But you made it past the two tough starting pitchers, Fetty and then Crochet as well last night. The White Sox easily could have stolen one of those games with one of two really good starting pitchers throwing for them. So I don't take away really anything for the Rangers on a 4-game win streak right now. Hopefully they can take the sweep tomorrow. Max Scherzer on the bump. That would be phenomenal. It takes a lot of pressure off the weekend series in Toronto. Obviously, you want to win that series, at least go 2 out of 3. But if you get the sweep tomorrow, you have a lot less pressure. We talked about, let's go 5-2 this week. The Rangers have won 3 games. You got to go 2-2 over your next 4 to hit that 5-2 mark. That would put the Rangers 2 games under 500 going into Monday's game against the Cardinals, which is the day before the trade deadline. I don't know if tonight locked it up, like the Rangers aren't going to be sellers. I don't know if tonight sealed the deal. I would think to myself, though, if they can pull off that 5-2, if the Rangers can win 2 more games this week, my guess is that will seal the deal. I think with the fortuitous losses by the Astros, by the Mariners, I really feel like the distance now that the Rangers are behind has gotten too close to be a hard seller. You're 3 games out. Unfortunately, the Rangers don't gain a game because of the Houston Astros pulling off the win today. We're going to go through the full AL West roundup a little bit later in the show. But nevertheless, you're 3 games out with 60 games left to play. I mean, that to me screams not selling, maybe buying. You're 3 games out with 60 games left. That is a ton of baseball. So I don't know if tonight sealed it. I think if the Rangers were to drop 4 straight, maybe even 5 straight, if you add in the St. Louis game, I could see a path towards it. I don't think it's going to happen at all, but that would be about the only way I would see the Rangers selling at the deadline. They would have to have a catastrophic meltdown that I just don't see happening. So I think this win did a lot. I think this win puts them in an extremely good position to be in the playoffs, perhaps at the end of the season, but just to not be a hard seller at the deadline. Maybe you still trade a Mike Lorenzen type. We've talked about that scenario. Maybe you go out and get some kind of bat. I saw today Ken Rosenthal, he wrote up a story in The Athletic. I know New York Times is kind of a part of that as well. The Rangers are looking for a bat and a controllable reliever. That is what Rosenthal was reporting today. A bat and a controllable reliever. You're maybe potentially getting rid of Mike Lorenzen. Rosenthal did reference Lorenzen directly. He did also say that the Rangers would like to hold on to Andrew Heaney and that it doesn't look like they're going to be selling Nate Eovaldi because of the way that it all worked out with the Astros and Mariners dropping games and the Rangers going on this small but very effective and significant winning streak. So that's kind of the update. Take it for what it is. Ken Rosenthal, obviously a big name in baseball reporting, in Major League Baseball reporting. So just to recap, Rangers are most likely going to be soft sellers. I think Lorenzen is probably one of the only guys that's going to be gone. We'll see what happens. I'm going to be very curious. It would go a long way to sweep tomorrow and then win at least one in Toronto. Hopefully you can still win that series. A 6-1 week would all but seal it. Even if you drop that first game in St. Louis, you go 6-1 this week. That is very impressive. I just don't see a path for CY to give up on the team. If you didn't get the update, and I know I'm going on a while, I'm going to get to comments here in just a second, y'all, so bear with me. I'm giving you all the updates that I have off the top of my head before I forget them. So if you didn't catch it, Josh Jung is going to be starting a rehab assignment in Frisco, and he's going to be doing that on Friday. So in a couple of days, Josh Jung will go out for a rehab assignment, report to Frisco. Don't know how many games he's going to be playing. I'd assume that they're going to take it day or game by game. And then Evan Carter is about a week behind, according to the reporting. This was all in the Rosenthal article that I read. And then also some Rangers reporters confirmed it on X today as well. Evan Carter about a week behind. So you would assume in about 9-10 days, Evan Carter is going to be going out on a rehab assignment if all goes well. And I would imagine that Mally is going to be making his debut at some point after the trade deadline. Maybe it would be at the beginning of the week next week, maybe a little bit later in the next week, but I would assume Mally is going to be making his Rangers debut at some point next week based on all of the appearances that he's been able to rack up down in the minor leagues on his rehab assignment. DeGrom is obviously still a few weeks behind. I don't think we see him till probably the third week of August. So still a little bit of time off before we see DeGrom. And even when we see DeGrom, he's probably not going to be going 6+ until September. I really doubt that they are going to push him hard at all when he first gets back. Maybe do a 4-inning, a 5-inning, and just slow build up for Jacob DeGrom. I don't think he's going to be going 6+ probably until September. I mean, who knows? I obviously don't have any crazy insider info myself, but just thinking logically here, that would really, really surprise me. Let me get to the comments and keep on going here. Tristan, what's up, man? Thanks so much for tuning in. It is a great day to be a Rangers fan. The only thing that would have made this better is an Astros loss, but we'll take the Mariners losing. The Rangers gain a game on Seattle. It's crazy that the Mariners were once up about 9 or 10 games on the Rangers, and now what? It's a 2-game lead that the Mariners have on us for second place. Astros take over sole possession of first place with the win. Agreed, Tristan. Great day to be a Rangers fan. Dodgers going to rough up the Astros for us. Win column, here we come. Byron, what's up, my guy? Thanks so much for tuning into the show tonight. Is that right? Do the Astros play the Dodgers next? I don't have their schedule and everything all lined up. Let me look at the weekend series. That is right. The game is in Houston. The games are in Houston, I should say. Dodgers have been winning some ball games of late. So I do hope this is true. I do hope that the Dodgers can go to Houston and get some W's, get a little revenge for that 2017 World Series, right? So that sure would be nice. I wonder who the Mariners have. I got it pulled up here. Let me do a little scrolling. Mariners are going to be playing, unfortunately, going to be playing the White Sox. So the Mariners have a nice series coming up against the White Sox this weekend in Chicago. But the Astros playing the Dodgers, that'll work. That will work. So we'll see what happens. The Mariners are reeling right now. The offense is not clicking. I think they just lost Julio Rodriguez. So maybe the White Sox steal some games there. Who knows? That sure would be nice. But things are appearing, knock on wood, and I'm knocking loudly so all y'all can hear me. Knock on wood, but things are appearing to line up for the Rangers right now with their opponents, with the schedule. Obviously, after the St. Louis series, I think they come back and face the Red Sox. They've got some formidable opponents coming up after the Blue Jays. Blue Jays still have a pretty decent lineup and team, so I'm not trying to overlook the Blue Jays by any means. Definitely not overlooking Toronto. I don't think that that's going to be a cakewalk series for the Rangers. Toronto has got some good players, some decent pitchers, so we'll take care of business there first. But again, things do appear to be aligning. Go Rangers indeed. Thanks for tuning in again. Appreciate you. Next comment. Texas Rangers are the best. I can't argue with that. I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but I do think that the Rangers are the best myself. And I told y'all, best talent in the AL West. I really do believe that. Not just saying that as a homer. I really do believe Rangers have the best talent in the AL West when fully healthy. I don't think the Mariners have a better team. I don't think the Astros have a better team. You know, the Astros are very top heavy, but as a whole, the entire roster, the bullpen, the starting pitching, I think it's Rangers for sure. John, fam, we kind of talked about this. Absolute great plays from Wyatt Langford. Great plays from fam against Wyatt Langford, who hit two very nice shots into the right center gap. Fam, I think, was playing very, very perfectly, and that's credit to the White Sox and their coaches and their game planning. But look, you have to be playing in a good position to catch both of those baseballs. So Tommy Pham, we're not taking anything away from him defensively, but Langford squared those up so nicely. You had to be in a good position in order to catch those. Easily could have been a worse blowout had those fallen. We'll take 10, though. We'll take 10 to 2, 100%. Orioles cooked you guys. Yeah, you know what? Let's just see what happens at the end of the season and the postseason. And let's just not forget, the Orioles could not win a game against the Rangers in the postseason last year. Let's just leave that right there. Big E, what's up, man? Thanks so much for tuning in. Great win. Agreed. Absolutely. Always fun to get on here with you guys after a W. 100%. Alex, thanks for the comment, man. Bradford, Malley, DeGrom, Young, Carter coming back. We have to keep it up. Look, I told y'all, if you could just hang on until all these guys come back, if you could just hang on, I really do feel like this team could go on that 40-20 run that they went on at the beginning of last year. You remember, last year, the Rangers were 40-20 over their first 60 games. 40-20. They do have a run like that in them. And I think when you get everybody back healthy, you could easily see it. And it's helpful that at least numbers-wise, schedule-wise, the Rangers, I believe, have the third easiest schedule the rest of the way in Major League Baseball. Third easiest. So the Rangers, it did feel like it. And in the dog days of summer, it's felt like we've had to play some very good opponents. And the Rangers, I think, have done well to at least stay afloat, keep their head above water somewhat. I know that they're under 500 right now by a couple of games, but you know what I mean. So now we get into a stretch where we have the third easiest schedule over the last 60 games, getting everybody back healthy, hopefully within the next 3-4 weeks at the most. And now we get a chance to see what this team can do as it was constructed in the offseason. Now, let me keep rolling here. More from Big E. He says, I think the trade talks can wait a bit, even if we're beating the worst team. Every win matters at this point. We're getting hot at the right time. How about them Rangers? Yes, sir. Echoing things that I started to share at the beginning. Glad that you reiterated. I think we can put the trade talks on hold. I think Mike Lorenzen might be a guy just because of the surplus of pitching that you look to trade and maybe get something for next year, maybe some kind of bat, a guy coming off the bench that can give you a little boost. Who knows? Right now, the Rangers reportedly at the deadline, if they're not going to be in hard sell mode, which it all but looks like they won't be, they're looking for a controllable reliever and a bat. That's according to Ken Rosenthal, who did a big write-up on the Rangers and other teams nearing the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens. I'll be interested. Let me see here. Where will the bat fit in? You can't take Langford because of Rookie of the Year and Smith, Seager, Semien, just to name some. I think at this point, it is going to be difficult. You don't know how Evan Carter, I think he's kind of the big piece here. Is Evan Carter going to bounce back and be that guy that he was for us last postseason? Or is Evan Carter going to be the guy that was hitting under the Mendoza line before the injury? I think a lot is going to depend on Evan Carter and where he's at with the bat. I think when he does get healthy, we're going to find that out quickly, although I'm almost 100% that they're going to continue to platoon Evan Carter and bench him against lefties. So that still leaves you with an option to fill his spot and bat somebody else when it's a left-handed pitcher. Now, right now, you've got Robbie Grossman, who had a great game tonight, right? Robbie hit that bomb late in the game that gave the Rangers a little bit of breathing room. And Robbie had a couple of hits last night, I believe. So Robbie tonight, 1-for-2 with the home run. But I think we can all maybe come to a consensus there's probably an upgrade option out there over Robbie Grossman. As much as we love Robbie, there are better right-handed bats that we could get. The name that I heard, some of you guys maybe follow or read, Jamie Newberg, who I enjoy reading and following along with as he tweets different things out. He threw out a name that the Astros are actually interested in as well, and that is Isaac Paredes, who is a third baseman right now, I believe, for the Rays. He is a power right-handed bat, having a decent season. They kind of talked about him as being an option there. I think Foscue, we can all kind of say up to this point, it is what it is. He hasn't probably performed at the level needed to stick around at the big league club. It's a dog-eat-dog world in Major League Baseball. It's what have you done for me lately? I don't think Foscue has done nearly enough to warrant staying up with the big league club. I think Jonathan Ornelas is probably going to get sent back down. I think that they definitely want to upgrade from those two bench players. And look, Travis Jankowski, I don't know. I'm not sure. 0 for 2 tonight, 207 batting average on the year. Look, all I'm trying to do right now is throw out replaceable players. Now, in the starting lineup, it does get interesting. Nate Lowe is coming around. I think an obvious thing earlier in the year to do would have been, let's platoon Nate Lowe with a right-handed power bat and first baseman, preferably. Now it gets a little murky with Nate Lowe's resurgence, him actually having a really good season. If you take out a little bit of that slump that he had in the month of June, I don't know. It's going to be very curious. I do think that DH is absolutely going to be a fillable spot. Josh Young, you can assume, is probably going to take over third base again. The glove is too good. I don't know if they're going to continue to let Josh Smith get a ton of reps at third base. I mean, maybe they'll split it up. I would assume that Smitty is going to be giving Josh Young a few days off in the field for sure. I think Josh Smith is definitely staying in the lineup. I don't know at this point. You've got Dolley. You've got Langford. I think center field is going to be Evan Carter half the time. Does Leody stay in the lineup? Don't know. Does Josh Smith start playing a little outfield? Maybe. I don't think that Josh Smith as a DH is a bad take by any means. Byron, getting to your comment right now, I think that's what they're going to do for a little while, at least for some of the games, unless they really want to get creative and move him to the outfield. I don't know how many reps he's been getting in between, you know, in different practice sessions, things like that. I don't know. I know they toyed around with Josh Smith in the outfield last year. I don't think it went terribly, but I think he got very limited reps in the outfield last year. I'd have to go back and look at his minor league years and look at the major league years and see how many starts does Josh Smith even have in the outfield. I don't know. I'll try and look that up on Baseball Ref right now while I'm talking to you guys. But I do think at this point, with the Rangers offense being as streaky as it is, and maybe not wanting to put all of your eggs in the Josh Young, Evan Carter basket, if that makes sense. So let me just pose a scenario that I don't even want to think about. What if Josh Young comes back and he's rusty for an extended period? What if Josh Young comes back and he's not the hitter that you expected him to be? What if Evan Carter comes back and Evan Carter is still struggling like he did at the beginning of the season? I really think that that is probably in the Rangers' minds. And so that's why I think they're reportedly going to be considering going after a bat at the deadline. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think Josh Smith is going to be sticking around in the lineup, but Josh Young, Evan Carter, I don't know if you know completely what you're getting. When Josh Young went down for his first rehab assignment, granted, it's a rehab assignment, he wasn't tearing the cover off the ball. He didn't look terrible. And then he had the wrist soreness, which really set him back. Don't know if we can really judge his first stint, his first rehab stint, but I'm going to be curious to see how he hits on Friday on this Frisco run that he's going to be on. We'll see. And then when he gets back up to the major leagues, I think we'll be able to tell within a week, within 10 days, if he's going to be a guy that we can really, really count on or not. But I don't know if Chris Young in the front office is going to be up for taking a chance and just assuming Josh Young is going to be a 275 to 300 hitter and hit some bombs for us. I don't know if CY and crew want to take a risk on that. I don't think Evan Carter gave you a lot of confidence with his bat. Hopefully, like Wyatt Langford, kind of got that IL reset. Hopefully, Evan Carter can get a little reset here with the time he's been away from the game and can get back into the swing of things literally from where he was last October. I think at this point, the Rangers just want to acquire talent and figure it out later. And if somebody is struggling, not doing well, somebody's in a slump, now you've got a guy that you can work into the rotation, give guys days off, and you've got a guy off of the bench that you can really count on. I think that's the goal with the Rangers looking to acquire a bat. I don't think that they're going to be replacing anybody like Langford or, you know, like Garcia or anybody else that's been hitting well, Josh Smith. But I do think the mindset is let's get some talent. Let's not put all of our eggs in Josh Young, Evan Carter's basket. And let's make sure that we've got a plan B if those guys come back and the offense continues to struggle. There's a few bright spots, but look, by and large, this game not included, the Rangers offense has not really been itself all season long. Let me keep on going here. Natalie says, I don't want Langford or Carter to end up doing a lot of DH. I think that that is probably wise. I would say they're probably going to look to have those guys play in the field. I think Josh Smith is a potential DH. And I think also the maybe bat that they acquire at the deadline could be a DH as well. I don't think that they're trying to DH Langford or Evan Carter. And I really feel like maybe Evan Carter is not going to be facing lefties the rest of the season. I have just a suspicion that he's probably not going to get a lot of opportunities in that regard, especially if they go out and get a right-handed bat at the deadline. I think that all but puts the nail in the coffin that he's probably not going to be an everyday player. Now, will he get a shot to do that next year? Possibly. But I don't think Evan Carter is going to be an everyday player in 2024, barring an extremely hot hitting streak from him. But even then, I don't even know if they're going to give him the chance to face lefties, unless it's one of those scenarios where in the game, deep late in the game, he gets to face a reliever that's a lefty. But even in that spot, it wouldn't shock me to see them pinch hit him for somebody else. So we'll see. I really don't know if there's a lot of options. This comment says, I just don't know who he would go after. Again, the name that I heard was Paredes, the Rays third baseman, I believe, right now, having a pretty decent year from what I remember. Let me look him up real quick so I can kind of give a little bit of validity to this. So right now, Paredes for the Tampa Bay Rays, he's hitting .250 on the year, 16 bombs, 50 RBI. Very respectable number, 16 homers, 51 RBI. So if you're looking at the Rangers team as a whole, those 51 RBIs would be up top. I mean, it's more than Josh Smith has. I think it's more than Corey Seager has. Marcus Semien is probably pretty close to that 51 number. So I think Paredes is the guy that they are targeting. And if they were to get him rather than Houston, because Houston is supposedly targeting him as well, that would be kind of like a double win. You improve your lineup, but you also prevent Houston from improving. The one thing I will say, not that CY hasn't made some savvy deals, but it does feel like Houston, by and large, is willing to overpay versus CY and the Rangers front office. Feels like Houston is willing to do the deals where you're overpaying, and I don't know if the Rangers are going to be in overpay mode. I think that the Rangers are going to be wise. They're going to be prudent. They're not going to make deals that don't set them up well, because as we've talked about here on the show, the Rangers are going to be good next year and they've got a good farm system. Houston's window is much smaller than Texas's is. It just is. Houston's core is getting older. Kyle Tucker is about to be a free agent. Altuve is going to be around for a while, but he is aging. Alex Bregman, he is going to be, I believe, up on his deal in a couple of years. They don't have much of a farm system, but they do still have some guys in the prospect line that are tradable. So it wouldn't shock me for Houston to do an overpay to maybe get a guy like Paredes, especially if they know that the Rangers are after him as well. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. Let me keep going here. We're going to go through the game as quickly as we can. It all started out with a bang in the bottom of the first. Corey Seager hits his 19th home run of the season. No doubter off the bat. But in the top of the second, the White Sox would tie the game right back up. You know that's one of my biggest pet peeves. As much as I love Evo, we get a run in the bottom of the first. We give it right back up in the next half inning. Can't stand that. Glad that we got the win, and it really doesn't end up mattering. But top of the second, Nicky Lopez singles. Ground ball to right field. Looked like Dolley probably could have made a better throw there and got Andrew Vaughn out at the plate. The throw was a little bit up the third baseline, and the Rangers were not able to get the out there. So the White Sox tie the game 1-1. Bottom of the second, we had Leody tripling, but the Rangers were not able to get anywhere. And top of the third, we had Luis Robert putting the White Sox ahead 2-1, and that would be the last run the White Sox would score in the top of the third. Kind of a hanging curveball from Evo. Robert was ready for it and just snuck it over the left field fence right next to the foul pole. Again, that was the last time the White Sox would score the top of the third in this one. From there, we had Adolis Garcia coming through. We talked about this, a very clutch two-out RBI single in the bottom of the fifth. Great to see the two-out RBIs. It happened a few different times in this game for the Rangers right after the Doley double that made it a 2-2 ball game. Nate Lowe came up, singled in Adolis Garcia to put the Rangers up for good 3-2. So again, Nate Lowe technically gets the game-winning RBI, putting the Rangers up 3-2, and the Rangers would never again relinquish that lead. Josh Smith in the bottom of the sixth, another two-out RBI, singled on a line drive to center field to drive in Marcus Semien. And then in the bottom of the eighth inning, we had a lot of fireworks, two fireworks to be specific, probably more than that, that they set off in Globe Life Field. But we had Nate Lowe and Robbie Grossman both going deep. Robbie Grossman, believe his was a solo shot. Nate Lowe hits a three-run homer. Six runs are scored in the bottom of the eighth inning, and the Rangers win this one 10-2. Very, very impressive. And a few things to note, the Rangers tonight 5-for-13 with runners in scoring position. And two, I believe John it was that brought it up a little bit earlier, the Rangers could have had a lot more runs. They left nine guys on base, right? They had eight opportunities that they missed out on with runners in scoring position. So this could have been a much uglier game. Okay, we'll take the 10 runs, no doubt. We'll take the 15 hits, but this could have been a lot uglier. Still 5-for-13, that's over .333, very respectable. That's sniffing close to a .400 average with runners in scoring position. Let's talk about Evo. Seven innings pitched. I think some of us kind of mapped out Evo starts, and when the Rangers were at the lowest point over the weekend after dropping the second game to Baltimore, I think after that loss on Saturday, we're talking just, what, 4 or 5 days ago, you saw a lot of Rangers fans start to kind of throw in the towel, not think that the Rangers were going to be competitive. They needed to sell. And I think some people kind of circled this game and wondered, was this going to be Nate Eovaldi's last start at Globe Life as a Ranger? There were a lot of trade rumors swirling. I'm very glad. I really would be shocked if this was Nate Eovaldi's last game as a Ranger or his last game at Globe Life, considering the winning streak. But those words were thrown around over the weekend when the Rangers were down bad after two straight losses coming out of the All-Star break to the Orioles. But Nate Eovaldi, incredible start from him. Did get hit around a little bit early, but only gave up four hits. Didn't walk anybody. Home run ball, still a little bit of an issue for Evo. He gives up the home run to Robert. Robert, by the way, I don't think he is probably going to be somebody that the Rangers acquire. But that would be another guy I would not mind adding to the lineup or adding at least to the team. The only problem I have with Robert is that he strikes out a little too much. He had three strikeouts tonight. He did hit a home run. But Luis Robert is absolutely a guy that is swirling around the hot stove as the trade deadline approaches. So we'll see. But that's a right-handed power bat, right? So you got Paredes, you got Robert as potential. We'll see how everything would fit in. I'm sure the Rangers will figure it out. I don't know. If the Rangers do go out and get a bat, would they be trading away somebody on the 40-man roster? That could be, I think, a potential as well. I know some of you guys are asking me, if the Rangers do get a bat, how would that work? Maybe you see somebody get traded. Maybe somebody right now as kind of a utility guy. Does a Leody get traded? Do you trade a Leody in an Isaac Paredes deal or a Luis Robert deal as kind of a guy just to get off the 40-man roster, sweeten the pot a little bit to add along with prospects? Something like that, I think, could happen. Now, I don't know. I haven't heard anything like that, but I'm just throwing it out there. Rather than just DFAing guys, do you throw them into a potential trade for a power right-handed bat as a way to clear room on the 40-man, and then you don't have as much of a logjam when it comes to setting the lineup each day. We'll see. Let me keep going here. Evo, back to him. Only 4 base runners all night. 10 Ks, season high for him. He had not struck out 10 in a game since early last season. I think this was his 8th time striking out double digits in a game in his career. Evo was on tonight, and he was getting a ton of swing and misses with the split finger, getting a lot of called strikes at the bottom of the zone, especially with that same pitch. Evo was on tonight. Much needed gem from a starting pitcher. Good bounce back for him. He got roughed up against Baltimore. Great bounce back outing for Evo. I hope Max Scherzer can do the same tomorrow. I assume he's still going to be throwing. I know he was pulled in his Baltimore start as a result of arm fatigue. He was very clear that there was no strain or anything of that nature, but that the arm was tired after ramping it up a little bit in the previous start and then throwing a little bit in between over the All-Star break. So arm fatigue is why Scherzer only pitched 2 innings against Baltimore over the weekend. Hopefully he can bounce back, go a little bit deeper in the game for the Rangers, and get them the series sweep. A 4-game sweep, not easy to do in baseball. A 4-game sweep. And look, if the Rangers do drop tomorrow, no need to panic. You know that there's going to be some people that will, but you didn't need to sweep this series. What you need to do is go 5-2 this week. That would put you 2 games under 500 heading out to St. Louis. So I'm not going to be panicking if the Rangers drop a game tomorrow. I'll be disappointed. I'll be very disappointed. I think the Rangers should sweep this series and have a very good chance to with one of their best pitchers on the mound. But all is not lost if the Rangers lose tomorrow. They still have 3 opportunities to get 2 wins against the Blue Jays. I think winning 2 out of 3 in Toronto is very, very doable. So you won't see a lot of panic out of me tomorrow. I will be a little bit disappointed. Hopefully the Astros and the Mariners will drop a game each tomorrow. Rangers will be able to gain a game and only be 2 games out of the AL West first place spot. Wouldn't that be wild? So we will see, but we're going to start previewing that matchup for you here. Max Scherzer on the bump for the Rangers tomorrow. Let's go ahead and let's start looking that way. The only other things I can say for tonight, very impressive outing from Jose Leclerc striking out the side. This is Jose Leclerc's 3rd clean inning in a row. So Jose Leclerc passed 3 innings, 0 base runners, and I believe he struck out 7 players over his last 3 innings. So Jose Leclerc on a good roll right now. He came in to close out the 8th inning, and then we had Gerson Garabito come in. Garabito recently called up, and he's actually appeared in games like this where the game is out of hand. I don't think it's particularly easy when you come in a blowout situation, whether you're losing or winning, because everybody knows and senses that the game is pretty much over. It's easy to come into games like that and not be 100% focused. So for Garabito to come in, go an inning strong, not give up a base runner. Garabito's got a 1.35 ERA on the season. Of course, he's bounced up and down between the majors and AAA. But nevertheless, I thought it was impressive that Garabito comes in and goes 1-2-3, doesn't give up a base runner, and improves his ERA, major league ERA, to 1.35. So props to Garabito. And that is the box score review. Again, Rangers win 10-2. Nate Eovaldi improves to 7-4 on the season, 3.31 ERA. Chris Flexen takes the loss. He drops to 2-10 on the year with a 5.25 ERA. That was the White Sox 77th loss of the year, and the Rangers improved to 50-52. Third place in the AL West, 2 games behind the Mariners, 3 games behind the Astros. Let's go ahead and look at the preview for tomorrow's game. Again, Scherzer on the bump for the Rangers to get the 4-game series sweep. Tomorrow, only 8 games going in Major League Baseball. The Astros are actually idle tomorrow, so Astros do not play. So it's an opportunity for the Rangers to gain a half game on the Astros. The Angels and the A's will be playing tomorrow as well, but the Mariners are actually off. So we have Astros and Mariners each off tomorrow. So it's an opportunity for the Rangers to gain a half game on each of those teams. And then again, the Angels will be hosting the Athletics. That will be the only other AL West team playing tomorrow. Rangers, last game with the White Sox, looks like they will be facing a right-handed pitcher, Jonathan Cannon. Jonathan Cannon has a 4.58 ERA on the season. In his last 7 games, a 4.02 ERA. In his last start against Kansas City, he went 6 innings, gave up 8 hits, 4 earned runs, didn't walk anybody. He also gave up 4 earned runs in his start against Pittsburgh. Before that KC start, 6 innings pitched, 7 hits, 2 walks, 4 earned runs against Pittsburgh. So in his last 12 innings, Jonathan Cannon, White Sox probable starter tomorrow, in his last 12 innings has given up 8 earned runs. So not a guy who's coming into this start with the Rangers particularly hot. And with the Rangers scoring 10 runs tonight, hopefully the positive vibes offensively will carry over into tomorrow's game. Going to be an early game tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. We've had 3 night games in a row, but tomorrow's game will start at 1:35 Texas time. That'll be 11:35 out here for me in Vegas. So we'll be coming at you a little bit earlier than usual. We like to take advantage getting on right after those day games. I know there's probably a few more people available a little bit later on in the evening as far as getting on the live, but you'll have to catch me on the replay if you got work or anything like that. But I will be getting that live taken care of pretty much right after the game tomorrow. So if I'm just doing the math in my head here, you know, probably around 4 o'clock Texas time, Central time, it's when I'll be getting on. Maybe I'll even go live during the 8th or 9th inning to finish out the game. So if you have time, you're bored at work, you got nothing going on, you can get a little background noise, finish out the game with me tomorrow, talk a little post-game analysis, hopefully after another Rangers win, of course, and 5-game winning streak. Rangers, of course, on a 4-game winning streak right now. Rangers don't have any numbers against Jonathan Cannon. Jonathan Cannon, I believe, is a rookie, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I thought I heard that. He's only pitched 11 games in the big league, so I'd assume still a rookie, at least as far as status is concerned. So no numbers for the Rangers against Jonathan Cannon. On the flip side, against Max Scherzer, there are a couple of guys with some decent numbers against Scherzer. Benintendi is 4-for-9, so hitting .444 in his career versus Max. Paul DeJong looks like hitting 3-for-13 in his career. Nobody in the White Sox lineup has taken Mad Max deep, so that's a positive. The only other two that have a good average, Sheets and Vaughn, each hitting 1-for-3 in their careers versus Scherzer. Senzel, 0-for-6 in his career. Tommy Pham, I think, is like 2-or-3-for-23. So Max has Tommy Pham's number. Nicky Lopez is 0-for-3 as well. So small sample size from all but 2 or 3 of the White Sox hitters in their lineup. So we'll see what we get. But I like our chances with Max throwing tomorrow. Think he'll have a nice bounce back game and hopefully get the Rangers on a flight, on a happy flight to Toronto for their weekend 3-game set against the Blue Jays. So that is the preview for tomorrow's matchup. Let me go ahead and check comments before we do an AL West roundup, which we've already kind of done, so it'll be brief. Then we'll check headlines around the league. And, of course, I'll take any comments or questions you guys have. Aaron, what's up? Thanks so much for tuning in, man. Max has got to lock it down earlier in the game, I'm assuming. Yeah, that's, I think, the real big thing, really, for the Rangers in general. The quick starts, right? The lockdown performances early. Offense gets out to a lead. That is how the Rangers win ballgames. They get out to early leads. The starting pitching is 100% legit, and then you pass it off to a really, really good bullpen. So the Rangers don't use David Robertson. They don't use Kirby Yates today. So I really think that tomorrow the goal is probably still not to use either one of those guys. We said last night, I said I really feel like they need to have a game where they don't have to use all of their top arms in the bullpen, and I'm glad that came to fruition. I know Leclerc throws tonight, but you have Spores getting a day off today, Robertson, Yates, so you have those guys for the weekend, right? You've got a lot of games coming up in a row here. I think the Rangers don't get a day off until a week from tomorrow. So the Rangers have 8 more games, I believe, before they finally get a day off a week from tomorrow. That'll be after the St. Louis series. And then I think they come home and they play the Red Sox. They host the Red Sox at Globe Life after they go to St. Louis right before the trade deadline. So I agree. The recipe for the Rangers this year has always been get an early lead, hand it off to the bullpen, and then the bullpen just locks it down from there. Now, it was nice to see Rangers get down 2-1. And look, 5th inning isn't necessarily late in the game, right? So, I mean, I don't want to go over the top here, but nice to see them get a comeback win. Technically, it's not like a late inning comeback win like it was the other night, right? When Wyatt Langford hits the walk-off in extra innings, but it's still a comeback win nonetheless. Good to see the Rangers rally in that fifth and then tack on runs late. That's been another thing that has really plagued the Rangers, the inability to tack on runs in the late innings. So to see them put up a sixth spot in the bottom of the eighth and allow Garabito to come into the game, you don't have to use David Robertson or anybody that is of high leverage value. I mean, that's just, I'm trying to be respectful there to all the Rangers bullpen arms. I would say anybody of high leverage value, you would have had to maybe think about using a Robertson or somebody of that nature. So I am glad to see that they were able to pull away today. No doubt. Lats, I think he might have been able to throw today. They decided to go with Garabito. Lats, I think, is still a guy that they are going to try and use in high leverage spots. I don't know. He has pitched a little bit better in those high leverage moments since that Houston series. You remember in that Houston series, he came in, struck out Yordan Alvarez, had a real nice shutdown inning when the Rangers had a slim lead, or I think the game was tied. He's been pretty decent since then. He hasn't been consistent enough for me to fully trust him, but I thought maybe they would throw in a guy like Lats. They went with Garabito tonight. All good. No problem with it. I think it's honestly for the best that they were able to throw Garabito and not anybody else, considering how many games they have coming up, right? They have 7 games or 8 games coming up before their next off day. Their next off day is until a week from tomorrow. Anyways, all right, let's go ahead and let's do a roundup around the league. So we have the Astros winning today. They won, I believe, like 7-8-1. It wasn't a particularly close ball game, but I'll get the actual final score for you here in just a second. And then you had the Mariners dropping a game. I think it was a one-run game, if I'm not mistaken, like something like 2-1. That's right, 2-1. And very close game all the way through, but the Angels come out on top in that one. It was 2 runs scored in the top of the eighth inning. The Angels were down 1-0 pretty much the whole game. And then the top of the eighth inning came around. The Angels scored 2, ended up winning the game 2-1. The Astros did win against the A's in Oakland by a score of 8-1. So the Astros once again take over sole possession of first place in the AL West. The Mariners are now down a game in the AL West. Rangers are still 3 games back, but within 2 games of the Mariners. And the Rangers could gain a half game on both the Mariners and the Astros with a win tomorrow. Both the Astros and Mariners are idle tomorrow. They do not play. And then they will be starting up a weekend series. Astros will be hosting the Dodgers. Mariners, I believe, are going on the road to Chicago to play the White Sox. Around the league, let's see if we got anything worth talking about here. Mets and Yankees are doing a little Subway Series. Mets spanked the Yankees tonight. My goodness. Not pretty for the New York Yankees. Believe that game is in the Bronx, too. 12-3. That's a butt-kicking. Little 2000 World Series rematch there. Subway Series, always fun, but the Mets came in to the Bronx and cleaned up. 12-3 victory for them. A little bit more trade talks, it looks like. But going back to that New York Subway Series matchup, Gerrit Cole apparently started this game and was not looking good, did not have a great game. I think last time out, Gerrit Cole was pretty good, but Gerrit Cole got rocked a little bit by the Mets today. We'll see what happens. The Yankees have not been the most consistent of teams in the second half of this season. A lot of baseball left to play. 60 games for the Rangers still. Looks like the Yankees have about 58. We'll see what happens. Padres lineup scored 12 runs and tallied 20 hits against the Nats. My goodness, that is crazy. And then after that, we have pretty much nothing else. I don't see a whole lot else worth really talking about here, y'all. So let me get the comments going. Texas Rangers, let's win another World Series. I'm with you 100%. Don't give up. Keep the faith. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. 3 games out in the AL West, 60 games back. Let's get it done. Why not? Why not us? Let's become the first team to repeat since, what, 2000? Something like that. I think it was the Yankees or somebody that did it. So we'll see. You never know. Stranger things have happened. Let's go ahead and let's get things cleaned up for tonight. Appreciate y'all tuning in. We are going to go ahead and sign off. We'll be with you tomorrow. Post game around 4 o'clock Texas time. Let's go ahead and let's plan on a Rangers 4-game sweep, 5-run winning streak. That is the plan. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Please, if you're not subscribed to the channel, not following the account, hit that follow or subscribe button. And if you'd be so kind, if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, you know somebody that loves Major League Baseball, tell them about the channel. Tell them about my account. Share a video with them. I would be very, very appreciative. Of course, some of you guys know a fun little challenge I'm doing on the side, betting 1 cent on a Texas Rangers win for every follower that I have. So I'm pretty close to my first $100 bet of the season. I think I'm at like $99.58. So about 40-ish more followers gets me to that first $100 bet of the year. The system, the challenge is going a lot better now that we're on this 4-game win streak. I'll tell you what, there's been some bleak moments in the challenge this season, but we are hanging in there. We're staying strong on this roller coaster ride of a season. But as I said, let's keep the good vibes going. Let's make it 5 wins in a row. And let's get together tomorrow talking about a sweep and a good series, hopefully, to come against the Blue Jays over the weekend. As I always say, y'all, to end every show, God bless. Go Rangers. Hope y'all have a great rest of your Wednesday night. Hope to see you again on the live or on the replay. I'm out.